This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Did he hit Austin?
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
I just want to do things my own way, you know.
I wake up in the middle of the night, sleepwalking and dreaming of daylight, with only a short dark hallway to wander. The shapes in the house lay still, flecks of light dusted the windowsill, joining me in my menacing thoughts to ponder. Now, was there something I missed in a stack of mail in a grocery list? I'm
fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, enlightening your musical life. Coming to you from the hallowed halls of Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, seeking to add perspective, to give you my knowledge freely and unabated for you to use in your own life and your own careers as you please. The full band and I have been out there at the front, fighting the battle of independent music, figuring it out. No more pie-in-the-sky label deals and stuff like that we used to dream about back when we were teenagers. It's a wasteland, the music business. A wasteland. It's just every man for himself. Survival of the fittest, right? Well, 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 it's another week here on the podcast, and I'm pleased to say that myself, Phil, P2, how you doing, has survived another week of playing shows, writing songs. Oh, man. Booking gigs, doing podcasts, etc. We are here. We have survived. So thrilled you can be with us, folks, as always, every week here on the podcast. Hope you've had a great week. Talking a couple weeks ago about New Year's resolution. Hope your 2011 is going well so far. It's been a great year already here at Phil Pritchett Entertainment in Fort Worth, Texas. So much going on. Stuff with the podcast. Talking about some of the goals for 2011. I was throwing some ideas out there last week. You remember this, a couple weeks ago, talking about some things we're looking at, new album, an event, maybe here at a Trinidad World Recording, maybe a Christmas party kind of deal. Fans all over can just fly in from the four corners of the globe to hang with me and the full band, eat some great food. But one of the topics we looked at was, man, you know, I'm always intrigued. I talk about the vinyl vault here on the podcast every week, trying to enlighten your musical life, picking out records over there, new and old, for your enjoyment or for your disdain, whatever your opinion may be. But man, I've always been intrigued, intoxicated with the idea of putting a Phil Pritchett and the Full Band album on vinyl. Prohibitively expensive. Man, you're paying like $500 just to make like the piece of metal that actually makes an impression in the vinyl plastic per side. Anyway, it gets very expensive. So if you saw a Phil Pritchett record, man, I'd have to sell it for like $40 or something. But oh, you would be all the better for it, wouldn't you, fans out there? Come on, there's only so much fun in downloading something off the site. You know, I downloaded Phil's record, whatever. That's something anybody can do. I'm trying to put something together here that, you know, a package maybe. You know, sure, you can just download the record. Sure, you can just burn the CD, buy the CD, something like that. But for those of you who really want to be involved, for those of you who want something to put on the shelf, something to throw on the turntable, to unfold, read the lyrics and stuff, I'm looking for a little extra. And man, since, you know, the CD era, man, nothing's really replaced vinyl as far as that experience. You know, there's just a difference between reading a coffee table book, a gigantic book with great photographs of the Southwest. You know, that's an experience opening up that book. You wouldn't look at a gigantic coffee table book and go, man, books are out of it, man. Books are so last century. Now I just got a Kindle. That's where all my books are. You know, it's kind of silly. You think, well, of course not, Phil. You don't get beautiful photographs and stuff like that. But I don't know, man. So who knows, man? The old paper analog world. There's still an experience there, isn't there? Opening that big old coffee table book, photograph book. I think the same way with vinyl. You know, you get the big pictures in there, the pull-out poster, lyrics, whatever. So I got a little feedback from our man Kyle down there. I think he's in Austin. And this sort of morphs into a, you know, we were talking about Private Party April, where I will come to your house in April 2011 to play for $500. Anywhere in the state of Texas, email me, phil@philippritchard.com. Well, immediately I start getting emails from people. This one came from Kyle. This was a talking about the show and playing. Phil, sorry, at the Barley House a few weeks before New Year's. Enjoy the show. Thank you, man. Some feedback for you. I love the idea of vinyl. Plan on buying a record player soon and would definitely shell out money for a vinyl copy. Well, thank you, Kyle. And then, he gets to the next part of the email. Also, Private Party Month is a creative idea. Not sure your target audience, but I'm organizing a little bachelor party April 1st in Austin. Renting a house. Don't know if that's your idea of a great time, playing for a bunch of drunk guys in Austin. Oh, man, look, I've made a living doing it. I've been playing while guys are shooting skeet. You know, I mean, I'm just over there under the tree with the guitar. It's all the same to me. Look, I tell people all the time, look, I got two speeds, on and off. If I show up and I play, I just get out the guitar, I play. Whether I'm plugged into a huge system or just sitting around the campfire, it really doesn't make any difference to me. Anyway, very nice, Kyle. Just an idea for you. My friends and I are big fans and would treat you and the band extremely well. Hotel, food, etc., etc. Hey, look at that. Enjoying the podcast as always, Kyle. Well, man, there you go. And I sent Kyle back a lengthy and descriptive email about how we just would love to do that. You do the same. Let me know where your party's going down in April. It's Private Party April. $500 for me. If you want the full band, you know, we'll cut you a deal on that as well. But check that out. I already had a couple of, you know, some people have crawfish events and stuff like that in April anyway going on. Got another email from a gal getting married in April. Boy, you'd be cashing in huge on that. Oh, if you were getting married in April and you paid me $500 to come play solo at your wedding, dude, that is a bargain, dude. Those weddings are expensive usually. Of course, we're bringing the band. We bring all that. We play all night kind of deal. But, hey, bargains to be had. The calendar, I'm trying to keep the calendar open. I've already got a festival and some stuff in April, but we're trying to keep those Fridays and Saturdays especially open. So give me a call, 817-733-5256, and we'll come play a show for you. Private Party April. Well, I got this another email here. Intriguing. God, you fans are so intelligent out there. Just pat yourself on the back. You know, if you're listening to this program, you're not out there with the masses, with just the great masses of people watching Jersey Shore or whatever they do. You know, you're tuned in. You want that little insight from the front. So welcome. Well, I get this right here from our man, Jared Jensen. He's Phil, big fan from BCS. That's Bryan College Station down there. For the uninitiated, there you are. I've noticed that at 30, my musical interests have slightly evolved. I've always liked a wide range of music, but back in the day I was a lot more into Tupac. Hey! More recently, as a parent, I associate with songs like Girl in the War from Josh Ritter. I know Josh Ritter. I don't know if I know that song, though. Still like the old stuff, but have new appreciation of other things. Can you discuss how age has affected your musical tastes? Thanks, Jared. That was interesting, man. I always get a lot of great emails from people saying, I love the podcast, blah, da, 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 da. Keep it up, Phil. Love it, love it. But I'm always intrigued with a question like that. A little challenging piece of intrigue, a topic to pass on to everyone. I don't know if I have a good answer for that. How has age affected my musical tastes? Well, I'm inclined to say, of course, that I've mellowed out in my old age. I don't know if that's true. I don't think that's very true. I don't know if my tastes have evolved that much. I kind of went back to look at the music I was always into and kind of see how that changed. I definitely was into my heavy metal thing in adolescence, you know, just the faster, the louder, the better, fast playing, you know, Eddie Van Halen and all that stuff. Me and my parachute pants wearing band, Violation with an A, Violation. like we were just getting laid all the time or something. So I didn't catch on to it. I was slow in those days. You know, I was a culture. I was a sheltered kid. Had a good childhood. But so we played a fast, you know, metal man. Just Iron Maiden, Rat, stuff like that. Garbage. A big moment for me, man, was, of course, was getting into the Beatles. My parents, my mom's old Beatles records, man. Sgt. Pepper and stuff laying around. It's like, oh, this is like listening to Beethoven or some old man stuff. So I was initiated into the Beatles and real, you know, pop music and stuff like that. 60s, you know, classic rock. You know, 7th, 8th grade, man, just went into it. And I've never really come out of it, quite frankly. But and then in college, I really got into, you know, the Jerry Jeff and the Robert Earl Keen kind of stuff. That stuff was around me a lot. I don't know if I've had another. I think music, your music tastes change with the people around you and the situations you're in, I think. You know, in 7th grade, everyone was listening to that rock and roll guitar stuff. So I got into it. You know, I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. Then in college, I was still listening to a lot of classic rock and stuff like that. 80s, you know, U2, The Police, R.E.M., whatever I'd been listening to in high school. Then it was kind of, some friends of mine in college had those, you know, those first Robert Earl Keen CDs. And I was like, I'm not a big country fan, really, not too much. And they're like, no, man, you got to check this out. Keen, man, this guy Keen, I'd heard of Robert Earl. But he was really starting to do real well there. Early 90s, kind of that Bigger Piece of Sky album. West Texas had already come out, I guess, in the late 80s. But, man, I remember just really identifying with the Keen stuff. Country and that kind of thing. But, you know, since I've been out of college, man, I've just been married and working my ass off and sleeping in a van down by the river, as the old saying goes. So I don't know. I've had different times. I had a drummer, Andrew Gerfers, great left-handed jazz drummer, played with me for many years in about a year and a half out of Austin. And, man, he had a real eclectic taste. So he'd bring all kinds of wild stuff into the van to listen to, galactic, you know, stuff like that. And he had, he was really into Miles Davis. He brought a Bitches Brew in, the great Miles Davis, album. And I had Kind of Blue, some of the earlier Miles Davis jazz stuff. I was kind of getting into jazz a little bit, but, we listened to that a lot in the van. I really got into that for a while. My early band playing days, Landis Armstrong, my old guitar player, I talk about a lot. Philosophical guy, man, he always turned me on to, yeah, the jazz stuff too, you know, Miles and that kind of stuff. So I kind of had a big jazz rebirth there. And still love listening to jazz and kind of exploring through there. You know, even though, of course, jazz is one of those things you just never fully get your head around. It's not like a country song with a story. You're kind of like, oh, I understand that. The guy's playing G, C, and D. He's telling a story. You know, jazz is just like, you know, what made that guy play that? Why did he do it in this way? You know, how does it make you feel? Then he plays it live and it's totally different. You know, you listen to Miles Davis at live at Carnegie Hall or a record like that, and the arrangements of his old pieces of music they're totally different the next time around, you know. I'd like to think Phil Pritchett and the full band is a lot that way. You know, if you listen to our early records like Maria and Skywalker on Phil World 1996 or whenever that was, and then listen to the live version on something like Cool and Unusual Punishment. They've just evolved into something completely different and continue to do so. So who knows, man? I guess in my later years here recently, I really like acoustic-driven stuff. Maybe I am mellowing out. Oh, gosh. Is that what this means? My goodness. I don't know. I'm looking for that perspective, that truth. Give me some truth, as John Lennon said. But, yeah, man, just nothing too. I feel like I've got all the loudness I need to this point. If I want something, I'll reach back for my Zeppelin. You know, I'll reach back for Nirvana, Rage, stuff like that, if I really want to kick it out. But, you know, that being said, though, it's harder to turn me on to stuff, man. Somebody brings me something, says, hey, man, check this out. I'm just like, dude, I've got so much music already. I don't even listen to. I got an iPod full of stuff that people say, hey, man, check this out. It's great. I'll skip through it a couple times. It's cool. So it's very hard, as it is for all of you fans out there with so much music. It's hard to get people's attention, you know. So it's tough for my musical tastes to change. But just as far as being around the house and stuff, I kind of like, you know, I talk about Amy Mann a lot. She's a, you know, singer-songwriter I really like a lot. Really good sounding records. And I think owning the studio, man, being a producer, I'm really into sounds, you know, a really great acoustic guitar sound, drum sound, different production techniques, weird instruments in the background. Like, God, what are they using on that? So I don't like listening to stuff that I completely understand. Maybe that's the way to put it. I like listening to something that's got elements in there. I'm like, man, what are they doing? I'm always intrigued by Daniel Anwa's production. You know, oh, man, old Peter Gabriel albums and, you know, keyboard sounds and stuff that I'm not maybe super familiar with. Always intriguing. Stuff I don't understand. Maybe that's part of it. I just like the mystery of music. I like to keep that mystery alive. Well, 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 speaking of keeping the mystery alive, does anyone say rock and roll or Hall of Fame more than our friend Owen Temple? Have you enjoyed Owen Temple month here? Owen Temple is going to be coming in here to discuss. You know what we're going to do? We're going to condense the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We're going to have to haul ass to do this. We're going to go through the entire list of people who've been initiated into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and briefly debate the merits therein of anyone being in the hall and see where that gets us. See if some perspective. Because in my book, man, we're running out of people to put in the Hall of Fame. What are we going to do once all these guys are in? We're starting to put them in two or three times. Oh, he was in as a, you know, Eric Clapton was in as the Yardbirds. He was in with Cream. He was in as a solo act. You know, are we going to have an unplugged Hall of Fame we're going to put him in? Who knows? We'll discuss with Owen Temple coming up next.
She's played this scene before. The one that ends with a slamming door. To the land of joy.
Well, fans, you are the tastemakers out there, the enlightened, the initiated. By listening to this program, that's why I'm going to let you in on another little secret of mine. Right up here in Fort Worth, Texas, the greatness of Hot Damn Tamales. Family owned and operated. Right here in Fort Worth, you're saying to yourself, well, all right, Phil, maybe I'll drop by next time I'm in Fort Worth. But ah, my friends, they are the best and biggest shippers of gourmet, handmade fresh tamales all over the United States. Located right here in Fort Worth, just go to hotdamntamales.com and look at the great photographs they got there. And listen to some of these titles, man. The first time I went in there, I was blown away. Beef tenderloin, beer, and jalapeno tamales. I picked up a few dozen the first time I was in there. Poblano chicken, ancho pork loin, and my wife's favorite, the wild mushroom and Texas goat cheese. And so many more exotic, gourmet, not made with lard and a bunch of greasy orange stuff that you associate with your tamales wherever you're living out there. They are shipped UPS, man, in custom styrofoam coolers, made fresh every day, man, going out the door. When I want to take somebody somewhere special when they're in town and say, Phil, show me your Fort Worth. Or if I want to give a gift of Fort Worth, I always go to Hot Damn Tamales, man. Right here in Fort Worth, but you can buy them wherever you are in the world. HotDamnTamales.com and type in P2 in the promotion code box. P2 and get $2 off any order. Fans, we enlighten your musical life on this show. Enlighten your taste buds as well. HotDamnTamales.com.
Plenty. When no accounts or gas tanks are empty. Not left to roam parking lots with the many. Finding the strength to go on, cause everybody's trying.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Enlightening your musical life from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas. Coming to you worldwide in high-definition audio or something quite like it. Well, 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 folks, thrilled you're with us here today on the podcast. Have you enjoyed Owen Temple Month we've been having? Well, guess what? For his third week in a row here, coming back, because his ire was risen in the off week. By, you know, you got the new Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class going in here. A lot of people discredit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oh, it's just a big political deal. But hey, man, there's some slam dunks in there. So we invited him back this week. Owen Temple is here. Good to see you, Owen.
Great to see you, Phil.
Now, I don't know if you have any. I kind of don't have a whole lot of strong opinions on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But it's been in the news here of late. Got the new class going in. But man, I feel like, after the first few classes here, obviously, you got your Elvises and your Buddy Hollies and James Brown. You got your slam dunks, but there's always like a DJ in there, a jazz guy, a country guy. I thought maybe real quickly we could just go through the list here.
Yeah. At which point are we not all in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
That's
right. You know, at which point can you cut it off?
I mean, well, there's been some guys, like some guitar players that, like, well, man, he really influenced Eric Clapton. I'm kind of like, wait, so we can put him in the Rock and Roll Hall?
This guy owned the hardware store that gave Bob Dylan his first.
Yes, and just forever set in motion.
Guitar.
That's right. I mean, but we're not putting Brett Favre's high school coach in the Pro Football Hall of Fame,
no,
are we? Not yet. Now, I would not put any jazz guys, country guys. I would put no producers in there, no businessmen. We're talking rock and roll acts. So I'm going to go through here. We're going to whittle this down. We've got something like 196 total individuals in the Hall of Fame.
Some people can get sent home.
Yes. Some people are going to get sent home right here by Owen Temple.
Now, I don't care if you're dead.
The first year. We're going to start
no
right
excuse.
Here. Now, look, just tell me if you have any strong reaction to anything. Now, this is the first class of 1986. You got a lot of slam dunks in here. Elvis Presley. Any argument there?
You can keep.
We'll keep Elvis. Alan Freed, the DJ. See, he's out. He's not a rock and roll guy. I know he was influential playing. Of course, Buddy Holly.
Cheap.
Chuck Berry. Fats Domino. James Brown. Jerry Lee Lewis.
Keep.
Sun Records, you do enough?
Yes.
Okay. Jimmy Rogers. Country, see, I kick him out. I know he's influential.
Okay. By that standard, yeah, I'd have to say kick him
Jimmy Yancey. I don't know. Some piano player guy. Boogie Woogie dude. John Hammond, producer. I don't know. Ray Charles.
Keep
Ray Charles. Sam Cooke, singer. Hey, no soul singer. Yeah. You keep him in there?
Well,
I throw him out. Everly Brothers. Yeah, you got to keep the Everly Brothers, don't you? Sam Phillips, producer. Sun Records. Maybe keep him in there.
He's out.
Robert Johnson, great blues guys. He's blues. Too old. Little Richard, slam dunk. Little Richard, slam dunk. Nice. Yep.
Yeah, rock and roll. Okay, so very strictly.
Now that's a lot of the guys that just initially you like, man, put all these guys in. So here we go, kind of with 1986. I'm going to read these off, and you just kind of, you know what? Let me read them all off, and then you go back for some reaction. Okay, you ready?
Ready.
Remember, rock and roll. Leonard Chess, Jerry Wexler, Ahmet Ertegun, Aretha Franklin, B.B. King, Big Joe Turner, Bill Haley, Bo Diddley, Carl Perkins, Clyle McFadder, Eddie Cochran, Hank Williams, Jackie Wilson, The Coasters, Marvin Gaye. God, they got a ton of guys. They've been like five guys in now. Louis Jordan, Ricky Nelson, Roy Orbison, Smokey Robinson, blah, blah, blah. T-Boyne Walker, Muddy Waters. A lot of blues guys. Oh, who do you keep in that of that bunch? Roy Orbison?
You were just looking at like all of them at that point. It was not by any year.
I mean, rock and roll. Yeah. Well, what's the rule? Like, you have to have released something 25 years ago for your first significant act. I don't know. Anything strike you there?
Well, there was a lot struck me there. But the thing is, was when you Sam Cooke. If you listen to some of those records, man, that's. What is rock and roll?
What is rock and roll? That's a good question.
You know?
Well, the next year you had the Beach Boys. Is that a slam dunk for you? A little too
wussy.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I think that's rock and roll. I mean, it was Chuck. They took Chuck Berry's, vibe and sold it to more white people. You know.
Is that all you're about?
I don't know.
How about Bob Dylan getting in 1988?
Yeah,
kick him
absolutely.
Out. What about the Beatles?
The Beatles, leave them in there. Kick Yoko out.
See, they got all these guys like Berry Gordy Jr., Lead Belly. You know, guys. I don't put those guys in there. I mean, they're obviously great, obviously influential, etc. Les Paul
invented the
biggest
obviously
rock and roll guitar.
Yeah. He's an audio engineer. And
well, and he was an artist, so I cut him some slack there. Okay. Put him in the Supremes, the Drifters, kind of those 50s bands. What do you think of those? Rock and roll.
The Drifters. Yeah, that's interesting. That's kind of.
Woody Guthrie in this class.
He's the ultimate like rock star. Even if
he is.
If he wouldn't, if he never used an electric guitar.
Right. Oh, who we got? 89, the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, they're probably quintessential rock and roll.
Stevie Wonder.
Oh yeah.
Got to leave him in there. Right. Of course you got to.
But then that makes a slippery slope with all the other R&B.
Soul singers. Kind of the more guys. It is a slippery slope there. I think if you really stick to like rock and roll, it could be a very small class indeed.
Yeah.
You end up with like eight British bands.
I don't know. It's a tough project you've undertaken here, I think.
Well, I hope it's somewhat entertaining. I hope. Just all these dudes in here. God, the class is already just getting smaller. See that?
I'm with you. I would like to carve out. I would like to carve out the producer. I think that would be easier than
Phil Spector's in this class. You take him out for murder.
Golly,
this is before he killed anybody.
Man,
I think
he did. Man, that wall of sound and those. He created the birds and.
All right, here we go. Class of 90, The Who. Another slam dunk there. Mm-hmm. Then you got like Bobby Darin, you know, Jerry Coffin and Carole King, The Platters, The Four Tops. I mean, you put all these guys in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Louis Armstrong. Come on, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, you know what I mean? It's already starting.
Now, there you go.
Here's my point. It's already starting to get a little bit like, do you cut him some slack or not?
Yeah, no, it's almost like if you plotted these on a curve, you can see how much further it could be from the Essence.
You also have the Kinks in this year. I put the Kinks in there. Simon and Garfunkel, The Four Seasons. I don't know. I'm just kind of like, I don't know, man.
Four Seasons in that hotel? You can't put hotels in this.
No, you can't make it in there. I don't know.
Are you going to put La Quinta in there?
Yeah, right. That's a different Hall of Fame altogether. How about, look at this, class of 91. You ready for this? Ike and Tina Turner. Slam dunk. See, I'm just kind of looking at the slam dunks here. And then some of these are, of course, you got Howlin' Wolf, John Lee Hooker. I object. Object to all this. Who's another slam dunk? Even the
But you know, but you think about the Blues. Hold on.
Okay.
The Chicago Blues. These are the first guys that actually plugged in guitars.
Let them have the Blues Hall of Fame.
They plugged in guitars.
Okay.
And then they
played.
They played
notes.
Loud over a group of people.
Screaming and drinking. And yeah.
I mean,
it's the boogie.
Is that right? And with the drummer. Like, they had a drummer.
I just feel like it's rock and roll. Oh, I know. It's the Blues, though, man. I feel like Little Richard, Chuck Berry. That's just where rock and roll, the term, the everything started. Mm. You don't think? I mean, anyone back before that is just an influence of some kind.
No,
why not put Mozart in there? Because they influenced Sgt. Pepper. Maybe Mozart. You wait, they'll do something like that. There's probably somebody already in there like that.
The Blues had a baby and they called him Rock and Roll.
That's right. Is that your song?
That's a B.B. King.
Here we go. Class of 92. Jimi Hendrix. Slam dunk?
Slam dunk.
No question. Now they got Johnny Cash in here. I guess he's more rock and roll than any other country guy. They've already got Hank Williams in there. But see, I don't put him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Sam and Dave, the Isley Brothers, Leo Fender for inventing the Fender guitar. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I don't know. We put Les Paul in there, but Les Paul was an artist. He also played.
Well, maybe Fender played at like a bar in his neighborhood, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. We're already getting into thin territory, man. 1993. Who are they going to keep inducting? That's my point. We'll get to the more modern day.
That's a good point.
93, you got Cream, Creedence Clearwater Revival, The Doors, Van Morrison, Sly and the Family Stones. That's a pretty good class there. Then you got a lot of other ones like Milt Gabler, Ruth Brown, Etta James, you know. Dick Clark, come on.
I hear you.
You know, you with me on that?
I'm with you on the Dick Clark.
I'm being a jerk about all this. Here's one for the next year, 94, Bob Marley. Put him in there?
I do.
There's no reggae Hall of Fame. Maybe you got to put Marley in there. He was known in the mainstream enough in the United States.
You know, I'm starting to think as we think, there's only two kinds of music, Phil.
What's that?
You know this.
Country and Western?
Good music and bad music. So maybe the title should be the Good Music.
Good Music Hall of Fame?
Hall of Fame.
Yeah. This year also had, Bob Marley, Elton John, slam dunk. John Lennon, I guess a solo artist, slam dunk. Rod Stewart.
You got to think about his previous work.
The Band, The Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
You put them in there. But they also got The Animals in there. There's just some.
Wait, The Animals, that was
a couple of hits, you know. Oh, man. Well,
House of the Rising Sun. I played the Fort Worth Rodeo over here with Billy Joe Shaver.
Yeah.
And he told me, he goes, man, I love music. He said, you know, my favorite back then was The Animals.
Is that right?
He said, The House of Rising Sun, man. He goes, which is an old folk song.
Yeah, right. But their version of it.
And that was
in
what?
In New Orleans.
Yeah.
What was that 65, 66, somewhere in there?
Yeah, he said.
Maybe earlier than that.
He said that was one of the most influential songs.
Awesome. Dylan did a version of it as well early on. All right, man. Who's in your class of 1995? Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Owen, just holler. You know what? Holler when you object. Neil Young.
Oh, man.
The Allman Brothers.
I don't object to either one.
Janis Joplin. Nope. Led Zeppelin. Al Green. Object to Al Green? Kind of soul. Frank Zappa. Then you got the Orioles, Martha and the Vandals, and Paul Ackerman. God, just take those last three off. Who are they? You know? You're going to put them in the same class? You got to share the stage with Led Zeppelin or Neil Young or the Allman Brothers? Get out of my face. Funny. All right, 96, David Bowie, Jefferson Airplane, Pink Floyd, you know, a bunch of blues guys. Pete Seeger, come on. You put Guthrie in, so you're going to put Pete Seeger in there?
I think Seeger, man, he sold a lot of trucks. Nakura.
I think
Pete Seeger, Bob Seeger.
Pete Seeger, Folky, well, friend of the river. Bill Monroe in the class of 97. Come on. You know,
Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. He was the first one to record that before Elvis.
Look at this. This year you had Buffalo Springfield and Crosby, Stills, and Nash. So I guess you had Stephen Stills.
Buffalo Springfield.
Joni Mitchell. Oh, Kurt South is rolling in his grave out there in Virginia. Were he dead. How about the Bee Gees? You put them in there?
Oh, man, you got to. What else are you going to do in the 70s?
I know. We're already running thin here, dude. The Jackson 5 is in there.
Sure.
I didn't know they were in. I guess so. All right, 1998. You got the Eagles, Santana, Beat Me With a Bat. You listen to Santana?
Guitar solo. He does. That scale he plays, man. Yeah. He plays it.
Eagles, Santana, Fleetwood Mac, you put in there, probably. I don't know. The Mamas and the Papas. Jelly Roll Morton. Oh, kind of thin, dude. I mean, who would you want to see if you went to these ceremonies? 99, you got Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney. Billy Joel. George Martin, producer. See, I throw him out, even though he produced the Beatles.
Mm.
Staple singers. How about Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys? You know they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, they were the first people to use the drums on the Grand Ole Opry. They had to hide him behind a curtain. They were like, no drums.
Sacrilege. Is that right? I didn't know that.
No drums on the Opry stage.
Oh.
And Bob Wills goes, well, then you don't have Bob Wills on the Opry stage.
That's right.
Okay.
Is that right?
I'll throw a curtain over him.
All right. We'll put him in there. 2000. Bonnie Raitt. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame now. Beatles, Stones. Bonnie Raitt? No? I think that's just a stretch. It's my only thing. Earth, Wind, and Fire? I mean, come on. Oh, disco.
Everything is made of earth, wind, and fire.
Is that right?
It's the three elements.
And plastics, yeah. Eric
and petrochemicals, yeah.
James Taylor. You know, Billie Holiday. Good grief. I don't know. I don't know. Bonnie Raitt. And that's heading
I think what you've just discovered is that this is the good music Hall of Fame and not necessarily not so the rock
just someone, someone who's been around 25 years.
It's good music. Yeah.
Good music Hall of Fame. So therefore,
what's after rock and roll? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
If all that stuff preceded, if the blues and hillbilly,
we're gonna put Usher and P. Diddy in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah, is that really influential?
Is rock and roll alive? Is it?
I think this whole argument is showing that rock and roll is no doubt dead.
Yeah.
The further we get, 2001, Michael Jackson, Aerosmith. Oh God, glad I wasn't there on that night. Queen. Okay, there's a good inductee. There's a rock and roll band.
Just because the lead singer died that you can?
No, it's because they put on the greatest show ever at Live Aid that year. Yeah. Freddie. I mean, just you know, rock and roll.
But don't you think people get bumped up when they die?
Talking Heads, Steely Dan. Those are some good ones there.
Yeah.
But they put Richie Valens in. Like, why didn't they put him in the first class? Probably because he wasn't up there with Buddy Holly and Chuck Berry. They just put him in later. It's kind of like they just felt sorry for him or something. I mean, was he really that?
Some people's stock rises.
He had a couple hits. I mean, was he really that great? 2002. Oh, boy. Brenda Lee, Chet Atkins, Gene Pitney, Isaac Hayes, Jim Stewart, The Ramones, and Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I mean, I put in Petty, maybe The Ramones. The rest of them? Throw in the scrap heap of history. You disagree?
I think I see the essence of what you're arguing, and I agree.
Let's just see if we continue here in 2003. AC/DC, come on. Is there a rock and roll band?
Man, where would the strip clubs be without that band? Do you realize they'd have to be playing like Huey Lewis?
Yeah, they'd be playing songs by another inductee from that year.
Back in Black!
They'd be playing Oliver's Army.
Hip to B Square!
Yeah, just
Hell's Bells!
Power of Love comes on.
It's the power of
Elvis Costello and the Attractions. The Clash. The Police. That's a pretty good class there. You know, a couple guys in there. Class of 2004. There's your guy, Bob Seger. He made it after all, Temple.
He and Pete were reunited.
He and Pete. Jackson Browne, Prince.
Prince.
Traffic, ZZ Top. You put those guys in there?
I don't know Traffic.
Steve Winwood. Dear Mr. Fantasy.
Bring me a higher love.
Whoa. Well, that's his later solo work. But you're on the right path. Stay on there. Stay on there. Okay, 2005. U2. Yeah. Any arguments?
No.
The Pretenders. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Good band. Boy, but you got... Here's the rest of that class rounded out. Buddy Guy, great blues player. I'd eliminate him because he's more of a blues guy than a rock guy. Frank Barcelona. The OJs, Percy Sledge, and Seymour Stein. I mean, who are... I mean, those are all a bunch of executives and stuff. I mean...
I'm not familiar with those names.
Not familiar with those names. But hey, you two got up and played, right? 2006. Black Sabbath. Blondie. Herb Alpert and Jerry Moss, they started A&M Records, some executives, they get thrown out. Miles Davis, greatness, jazz guy, throw him out. Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Sex Pistols. Object to any of those? Sex Pistols, well, I mean, I know they're influential, but good grief.
Oh, yeah, you gotta, I mean, that's punk.
Sex Pistols, punk. We put the Clash in, you have to put the Sex Pistols in, I guess. So the Pistols, Skynyrd, Blondie, though? Blondie, really? That's New York biased, isn't it? Didn't they have CBGBs and all that? Were they really The Man from
Mars. I listened
Mars.
To them a lot there back in the 90s.
Sabbath. I don't have a problem with Sabbath.
Well, I mean, they're one of the great satanic bands.
Maybe there should be a Satanic Music Hall of Fame.
if you can't play backwards.
Maybe that could be a wing at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, just for all the satanic bands.
Well, you know, I'm mainly into satanic rock.
That's really a big influence for you?
Well, I'm just trying to imagine something.
All right, we're going
to
round it out here. From 2 years ago, R.E.M., Van Halen, Patti Smith, and Grandmaster Flash, and the Ronettes. A lot of people got pissed about R.E.M., but I love R.E.M. Much of an R.E.M. fan, none of this stuff?
I had a friend in the car, and an R.E.M. song came on, and he goes, it just proves that nerds need music, too.
That's right. Hey, that insults me.
Hey, I don't know.
It was
my friend who said that.
All right. 2008, the Dave Clark Five. Come on, they're digging deep. They're going back to these retread 60s bands. Mellencamp, Madonna, Leonard Cohen, The Ventures, Little Walter.
Little Walter. I'd have a hard time keeping him out, you know, with that harmonica. It's like,
there you go. Last year, we're just scraping the bottom. I mean, literally. Okay, here's your class. You ready? Bill Black, Bobby Womack, DJ Fontana, Jeff Beck, Little Anthony and the Imperials, Wanda Jackson, Run DMC, Metallica, and Spooner Oldham. I mean, good grief. Who's the slam dunk in there? You know, you have to say Metallica. The rest of them? My mercy. I don't know.
Wanda Jackson was one of the first girl rock and rollers.
Yeah. But I'm talking greatness, man. The Beatles, Stones, who else, you know? All right, then here's the class of this year, or last year. ABBA, oh my gosh. Genesis. The Hollies, scraping again for a 60s band. Jimmy Cliff, The Stooges.
Stooges.
Okay, that's rock and roll. David Geffen, of course, influential, but, you know. Ah, jeez.
The executive.
I don't know. They're just running out of people. That's my point. That's my point of this segment.
Your point.
This is this year. Alice Cooper, Neil Diamond, who's been waiting around forever. Dr. John, Tom Waits, and Leon Russell. Your guy, Leon Russell. Yeah. Who is greatness? But Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? You say yes.
Here's my case for Leon Russell.
Make the case.
Okay. He taught, so he ran the band that Joe Cocker. In 70. Yeah. Yeah, he led that band. He, influenced the Stones. He,
The Rock and Roll
Influence. He wrote some great songs. That Leon Russell record, Leon Russell and the Shelter People record.
Gotcha.
You got to say, if you've not seen rock and roll, here's what I'll say. if you watch that Bangladesh DVD or that Bangladesh concert for Bangladesh,
right,
and you watch his version of Jumpin' Jack Flash,
uh-huh,
put together with Youngblood,
mm-hmm,
and say that that is not a masterpiece of rock and roll performance,
then you haven't seen rock and roll.
Seen rock and roll.
So, I'll take it your word, Owen Temple.
I'll stake it on one performance.
Owen Temple has been here, folks, the P2 podcast. I was excited about doing the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, thrilled, and I don't know, man. I think that was just kind of a failed segment. Not very exciting. Not on your part.
It's just a list.
I thought it'd be cool to look at the list, and it's just not. It's uninspiring. It's obvious. Silly. You got some obvious bands in there and a bunch of people that probably don't deserve to be in there. It's a little depressing. And in the last several years, really nothing new.
I think you made your point on that, that the last several years it's been pretty hard to...
I mean, I guess
except for Leon Russell, which is long over.
I mean, coming up, you'd maybe have kind of your wave of like Nirvana type bands.
Actually, Nirvana could probably be in there by now, shouldn't they?
Maybe they're coming up. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, well, we hope that shit. I think we just offered no light or insight into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, other than if I was on the board, it would be very, very small and one room with a couple guitars hanging in it. You know,
shoving people out.
Yeah, that's right. I'd make it smaller, not bigger. Exclusivity.
Phil Spector trying to get in, shoot his way in.
Yeah. it wouldn't pass the buck.
Out.
We'd have the Satanic Music Wing. Maybe the
Sam Phillips who? Sam what?
Maybe the Murder Hall of Fame. Guys have killed people over here. That'd sell tickets, I guess.
Yeah. Sam Phillips, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
That's right. Jerry Lee Lewis, attempted murder. Who knows? Owen Temple has been here. This has been Owen Temple month here. Owen Temple has been here. Thanks for dropping by. And went through the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We just kind of skipped through it there. Raised a few objections. Not going to change anything.
Think how many years it took them to put together a list, and it took us, what, like just, 11 minutes?
Just to deconstruct the whole thing. Well, there you have it, folks. Email me your thoughts, Phil at philpritchard.com. Say, Phil, you missed this, this, and this. I'm going to have to put a list together of people who aren't in that need to be in. That might be an interesting thing to do, you know? Well, we're going to go to the vault, maybe grab one of these Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees' records, and check it out in the vault next. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchard on the P2 Podcast. Thanks for joining us this week, folks. How about that Owen Temple? Isn't he funny? How about Owen Temple singing Back in Black, doing a little AC/DC? What other show's going to give you that kind of audio greatness? Right here on the P2 Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, folks. Thanks for Owen coming by, continuing Owen Temple month. Reigning supreme here on the podcast. So glad he can join us. He will be back next week. Rest assured. Well, you know I love me some Dire Straits. A band criminally not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't think so. They weren't on the list, were they? Criminal. Kind of a British band, of course. I think we did their first record before. You know, Sultans of Swing. My guy Mark Knopfler, lead singer, songwriter, guitar player. Man, maybe one of the best lead guys out there in the way that he writes great songs got a cool voice, and then is just a great, great, great guitar player. I say it all the time, man. These new bands, these people, like, hey, man, listen, some new band out there, whatever, some kind of alt-rock thing, whoever, Kings of Leon. I'm always watching them, and I'm just like, man, what are the, can the guy, is it, no one ever comes to the front of the stage and starts playing guitar like Knopfler, you know, just some finger-picking, just, and just go, man, that guy's really good, you know. I always think of Dave Matthews. I'm like, well, he's really good, a good player. Even though I don't know the songs, even if I don't like the songs, in some cases, I can still sit there and watch him and appreciate and listen to what he's doing with his instrument. Greatness. God, I miss that kind of stuff, man. I feel like there's just so little of that these days. But, man, Knopfler, not in that category. Up there just picking away, shredding away. That's Tunnel of Love. I believe the start track of their third record we're going to look at here, Making Movies, that Dire Straits put out in their really short career. Maybe that's one of the reasons that keeps them out of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They really did three records. The one after this, they did the big Brothers in Arms, you know, Money for Nothing, big commercial, huge success. But then they really were on hiatus after that. After that, their career was very uneven, and Knopfler didn't. They didn't do the big arena tours and all that kind of stuff. Point of note on this record, Making Movies, Knopfler had started Dire Straits with his brother Dave. Poor old Dave, I guess his less talented brother. Nice guy. It looks like they're very close brothers. They started Dire Straits together. He'd been in the band. But he left the band around this time, I think before this record, Making Movies, was recorded. Because it just lists, Pick Withers and Knopfler, a trio for Dire Straits, playing on the record. But man, this next song is one of my favorites off of here, a real Dire Straits classic, covered memorably by the Indigo Girls. Huh? Anyone? Anyone? Remember the 90s? The Indigo Girls. Oh, they're probably still out there playing the Windstar Casino or something, or touring, who knows? But I heard, some of these girls lived down the hall from me in college, always playing this Romeo and Juliet song. And I was like, man, that's a great song. And I'd find out later, of course. It's Dire Straits, man. I love Dire Straits even then, but I didn't even know this was one of their songs. But this is Knopfler at his best, maybe his best love song, Romeo and Juliet, Making Movies. I love you till I die.
can't do the talks like the talk on the TV. And I can't do a love song like the way it's meant to be. I can't do everything, but I'll do anything for you. I can't do anything except be in love with you. And all I do is miss you and the way we used to be. All I do is keep the beat, the bad company. And all I do is kiss you through the bars of a rhyme. Julie, I do the stars with you anytime. But Julie, when we made love, you used to cry. Said I love you like the stars above. I love you till I die. And there's a place for us. You know the moment's song. When you're gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong. Sing the streets a serenade, laying everybody low with a love song that he made. Find a convenient street light, steps out of the shade, and says something like, you and me, babe.
Oh, don't you love just Knopfler noodling away there on the Strat, just gurgling away with that great tone, fat flesh, finger-picking style. Love it, man, love it. That's Dire Straits' Romeo and Juliet. Well, thanks for joining us this week, folks. Boy, that middle segment ran a little long. Long time going through the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know what that means? That means there's too many people in there. The segment ran long. My apologies to our affiliates out there trying to cram this all into radio. Well, that's what you get with the podcast, folks. Remember, you can download all of my stuff, p2tunes.com, just $4 a record. Or just get the drop card, $20. I'll mail you a card in the mail. Order it right off the website. $20, you get everything Phil Pritchett and the full band have ever recorded. I don't know, 14, 15 albums on there. Tons of tracks. And also remember that April 2011 is Private Party April. I'm going out and just playing people's houses, doing some fun stuff like that. Showing up at your house, $500. I come in there and play a show. So if you're having that crawfish boil or, bachelor party, whatever event you've got going on in April, man, you think, dude, Phil's out there playing. Or even if you don't have an event, man, get a few guys together. Everybody scrape up $50 or $100. You can get it done. Great times will be had by all. Just let me know where to be. Phil at philpritchett.com or call me 817-733-5256. My thanks to my good friend Owen Temple for coming by. So entertaining and fun. He will be back next week on the podcast. And as for you out there, you enlightened souls, thanks so much for listening. And thanks again. Do yourself a favor also. And go hit hotdamntamales.com. Hotdamntamales.com. Set your mind free. I'm telling you, you're not going to be sorry. Type in that P2 code. Tell them Phil sent you. We'll see you next week on the podcast, everybody. Much tougher.
I seen a girl on a one-way corridor, stealing down a wrong-way street. From all the world like an urban corridor. She had wheels on her feet. The cars do the usual dances, same old cruise in the curbside crawl. But the roller girl, she's taking chances. You just love to see her take them all. No fear, alone at night, she's sailing through the crowd. Enemies, his bones are tight and the music's playing loud. She comes, Queen Rollerball. And on Shanté, can I say, care at all? You know, she used to have to wait around. She used to be the lonely one. But now that she can skate around town, she's the only, only. No fear, alone at night, she's sailing through the crowd. It is, it's full to tight and the music's playing.
in. Toro, Toro taxi. See you tomorrow, my son. Since let a big truck grease her hip. She's got a whole world in the sea. Yeah. Can't shoot on her, no. No, no. She got her own world in the city. The city's being so rude to her. He is alone at night, sailing through the crowd. So tight and the music's playing loud. She gets rock and roll in a rock and roll stage, in a rock and roll room. She's making movies on location. She don't know what it means, but the music make her wanna be the story. And the story was whatever was the song, what it was. Slipping in the sky. Skate away. That's all.